You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Julian Tepper's Balls is a darkly humorous novel about Henry Schiller, a 30-year-old New York songwriter and lounge player who's struggling to deal with testicular cancer. He's in love with a woman far younger and more musically gifted than he is, and has her eye on other men and her own career instead of him. It's published by Barnacle Rare Bird, and I'm very pleased to have brought Julian Tepper to our show today. Welcome.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Now, you've played a featured role in a blockbuster movie. You're the co-founder of an artist salon. You've also been a musician. When did fiction come into all of this?
When I stopped playing music, I just went straight into writing every day. I'd always written, but never with the discipline of the daily act of getting to it. And at that point, that was about 6 years ago, and I wrote one book, and it didn't fly. But here's number two. And
do you see a link between writing lyrics, for example, and
Balls is a very Balls is a very musically driven book.
There are songs in it.
They're the protagonist is. His neuroses play out on the page in the act of songwriting, he's sort of wrapped his ambitions around creating a great work of music. And so it's, for me, it was terrific to be able to write about music.
Weren't you born into a musical family?
I was. My father is a musician, and the home was filled with instruments, and watching my father write songs, and he certainly inspired us. And then my brother Max and I and our friend Derek went on to start a band in 2001 called The Natural History, and we made two records, and yeah, it's something I still do.
Well, I don't assume that this is an autobiographical novel, but it draws upon your experiences. But how did you choose to write about testicular cancer?
I do know someone. I have a good friend, his brother, had experienced it, but I don't know to what extent that played into it. For me, it was just a matter of writing, leading to stumbling on a subject, and all of a sudden realizing that I was liberated to talk about all the things that I was interested in discussing at that point in my life, issues of manhood and testicular cancer. Just, it lent itself so wonderfully to that. So,
and that's where the title comes from. The title obviously cuts a number of ways because your hero really doesn't have a lot of, what word would we use other than balls, guts?
Sure.
In dealing with life, and then he has testicular cancer. Did you have to do a lot of research? I've been told by people who write books where they had to do a lot of research that the big problem is that they want to include it all, and that leads to a different kind of book.
I did a lot of research, and there's a piece this month or 2 weeks ago in the Paris Review Online. You can read about my experience. It was I had done a lot of research, and then I needed a doctor to actually check my facts to make sure that I had nailed them, and I got a referral to one, and the doctor, he turned out to be a man who actually fancied himself an author. And
so he critiqued the whole book.
He nearly rewrote the whole book. I still have the document. It's something I'll cherish forever. It's hilarious.
Well, it sounds to me, because I saw the article in the Paris Review Daily, that you chose the wrong doctor to ask.
I did. It's a lot to ask someone to read your book and to have them critique it. But I learned from him that the medical facts were all right. It was just that I couldn't write a sentence.
He didn't, and he didn't appreciate the fact that this book is very funny.
He might have. I never called him. I never spoke to him because I didn't know how to approach the conversation. It was a curious situation.
You were raised in New York. The novel is set here. Do you do you think that it is a New York novel, especially since, as I understand it, you wrote most of it in New Orleans and Finland?
Well, it's funny. I started it in New Orleans, and then I continued it in Finland, but I threw away everything I wrote in those two places, as wonderful as they both are. It wasn't until I came home to New York that the book actually started to take form.
And is it important that you've set it in a certain time period?
In this case, it was just I wanted a certain immediacy, and I certainly write about New York as it is today, and all the writing I've done up until this point is set in New York, and particularly in the borough of Manhattan, and
it's set around 10 years ago, isn't it? The early 2000s, no?
No, actually, just about 2 years ago.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Henry has been struggling for 2 years to write a New York song, and then he writes Castrated New York.
That's right. This is a song about the city's buildings and how they're sort of constructed in recent years with such little care, and the interest is really in throwing them up as quickly as can possibly be done so that we can throw in new tenants and get the bucks from renting and sales. And so this
you've been traveling through Brooklyn a lot recently.
Brooklyn and all over. And so it's sort of this is his song, which is a reaction to that. And
it becomes a hit. It becomes popular.
Well,
it's not his biggest hit.
He thinks it's going to be his great song, but in the end, it doesn't actually have the commercial value that he imagines it might.
The novel opens with Henry struggling with the pain in his groin. Why doesn't he tell anyone about it?
Well, it's sort of a dramatization here of an issue that I think I see in maybe myself and in men in general, this unwillingness to reveal our greatest pain struggles. This is a sort of a very exaggerated version of that for the sake of the novel. Here he's got this life-threatening illness, and he doesn't think that he can share it with anyone that would compromise his own sense of himself as a man.
And he's tried to tell his girlfriend Paula about his cancer, but he finds that difficult to do.
He does, and she's sort of at a moment of taking flight. She's just graduated from Juilliard. She's a classical violinist virtuoso, and about to sort of embark on a fabulous career and a European tour, and so he measuring himself against her, he decides it's best to keep this information a secret.
It's also tough in our society for a man to accept the fact that his girlfriend is a better musician or better at whatever he does. And
sure, I mean, it can be.
In this case, he has testicular cancer. He's at risk, he fears, of losing his manhood. And
right.
As you said earlier, this is to some degree about what it means to be a man.
Absolutely. And the book aims to speak of this theme in terms of reproductively as well as in terms of career and sexuality. And in this case, he's in this crisis. It's not the right moment to come forward and really let himself be seen by this woman as this weak thing.
You describe his visit to the sperm bank in a lot of detail.
Yeah, when one contracts testicular cancer, that's advised that you go to the sperm bank and make a deposit just in case the other testicle. If you are fortunate, you have just losing one testicle, that it doesn't compensate for the other. In most cases, it does. But he's goes to the sperm bank and puts a sample away. And it's sort of Kafka in the sperm bank for me, because he arrives there and no one's there. It's a Saturday, and his operation is 48 hours away, and he can't find anyone at the front desk, anyone in the building. And so,
Paula has a complicated relationship with Jeffrey Moss, her violin teacher. How has that relationship affected Henry's image of himself as a man and as a boyfriend?
Well, it's simply just the fear of having someone who's as talented and beautiful as this young woman and not finding comfort in being able to be in a relationship with this kind of person. This is one example. The intimacy with which one works with a teacher or professor is, leaves the imagination in a vulnerable place.
Henry has had a hit called All the Crazy Love Me. How did he come to write that?
This is actually based on a relationship with a therapist that he had who believed that he had been experiencing post-traumatic stress disorder from having witnessed 9/11. And although he's been experiencing these symptoms of dizziness for years, this therapist is convinced that he's actually that he's suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder. So in a spirit of revenge, I suppose, he writes this song called All the Crazies Love Me about this therapist who is the crazy.
And that does become a hit.
It does.
But then he doesn't have any others. He winds up writing jingles. Is that something that happened to you? Is that one of the reasons you left music? I have a part-time producer who really is excited about getting into radio and doing other things. But
right.
He says every time he goes too far, he misses the music.
Right. Well, I had the good fortune of the band that I was in, The Natural History. We wrote a song called "Don't You Ever" that was covered by a band, Spoon, mm-hmm. and we were able to. I was able
you
to
could
actually,
live off the royalties.
I could
of
live
Spoon,
off the royalty, and I could quit my day job and write balls, which was a wonderful thing. So it was. I was just playing on this idea that as this became more, as it sunk back into the past, it was not something that. Could even really, mention anymore because it seemed so far, like another life, another person.
We also, as we said earlier, you wrote lyrics to songs as part of the book and as a way of also continuing to tell the story. Did melodies also occur to you while you were writing them?
Absolutely. One of the songs, there's one jingle called Miss Scandinavia, which is actually was written in Finland in the woods. We would go for long walks and we were told that there were bears in the woods and that we should make some noise and fearing that we might get meet our end by these bears, that we started just writing songs while we walked, singing them aloud. And so there were melodies, lyrics, and we just kind of threw these songs out there and keep the bears away.
But you told me before we went on the air that as far as you're concerned, now you're a full-time writer.
Absolutely.
Of fiction.
Yeah, I don't, I haven't played music professionally for 6 years, and I pick up my instrument, but it's not something that I do.
And the movie career often. Just an accident?
That was an accident. Be familiar with Barney Greengrass, the wonderful century-old Jew. Okay, well, as a waiter there, I was... It's an unfair world of all the waiters in New York City who are actually actors and struggling out there. They picked me to be in this movie, extremely loud and incredibly close, and gave me some lines, and it was fun. I got to work with the great Max von Sydow.
Mm.
That my one foray into acting. I get to go do some lines with one of the most brilliant actors to grace the planet. So it was a good time.
Well, you can also write screenplays now and cast yourself in them with all the actors you ever wanted to work with.
One racket at a time.
Julian Tepper's novel, Balls, is published by Barnacle Rare Bird.
Yeah.
And I want to thank you so much for being on our show.
Thank you so much for having me.